Last week, we examined the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. We noted in that commandment there were two commands. The first command, found in verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor. And we maintain, look, if you work 6 12-hour days, you're going to look forward to a day of rest, a day to reflect upon your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second command we saw was that the seventh day thou shalt do no work, verse 10. And we found and shared with you four reasons why the Israelites on the Sabbath were to rest and to reflect upon their Lord, and how these four same reasons is why the church should rest and reflect on the Lord on Sunday, the Lord's Day. For example, we said that the Sabbath, Saturday, was to be a day to remember that God created them. And our proof text is Exodus 20, verse 11, and we went back to Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. But likewise, we said the Lord's Day, Sunday, is to be a day for the church to remember God's created us, not only physically, but also spiritually, having been born again by the Spirit of God. Romans 1, 18 through 25, and Colossians 1, verses 12 through 23. And then secondly, we said, wait a minute, the Sabbath, Saturday, was to be a day to remember that God had comforted them. And our proof text was Exodus 16, where God gave them the manna. That's the first time in the Bible where we see the word Sabbath being mentioned. They would have a day without any preparation of their meals. It should have been all done the day before. Likewise, we noted that the Lord's Day, Sunday, is to be a day for you and I to remember God's comforted us in meeting our needs. And we noted how Jesus, how he ministered unto the people in Matthew 12, and how the Holy Spirit himself is called the Comforter, John 14, verse 14. And how God is indeed the Comforter, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. So yes, today we need to remember that God is our Comforter. Then thirdly, we say, hey, the Sabbath, Saturday, it was a day to remember that God had called them. Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15, he called them out of bondage while they were in Egypt. But that same God today would have us to worship on the Lord's Day and remember that he's called us out of bondage to sin. Romans 8, 30 and 2 Timothy 1, 9. And then fourthly, we discovered that the Sabbath, Saturday, was to be a day to remember that God had consecrated them. He'd made a covenant with them, and the sign of that covenant was that they were to keep the Sabbath. Proof text, Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. On the same hand, the Lord's Day, Sunday, it's a day to remember that God has consecrated his church. He's made a new covenant, a better covenant. Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. And he's made this new covenant with his church, or those who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And what's the sign of the covenant? It's to partake of the Lord's table on the Lord's Day. Your very presence here this morning can be an evidence that you have indeed entered into the covenant with God by faith. So, all right, why are we here today? Well, we're here to remember that God has created us, that God has comforted us throughout this week, that he's called us not to serve sin, but to serve our Savior, and that he's consecrated. We have entered into a new covenant with God through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, believing that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Today, we're going to focus on the New Testament and what it says concerning when we should worship and how we should worship. Your first point, not going to be a very long point. You can turn with me now to Revelation. Revelation, last book of the Bible, chapter 1. It's not going to take us long to study our first point, because there's only one biblical reference, and it's right here. Only one time are we told we're to worship on the on the Lord's day. Notice what the Apostle John was doing here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why was he there? Well, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was a captive, having preached the word of God. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Only place this appears. The Lord's day. The Lord's day is not the same as the day of the Lord, okay? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. John was worshiping the Lord on the Lord's day when Jesus would speak unto him. Now, let me just mention this. This is the only reference to the Lord's day. But the Lord's day, as we're going to show you, is really the same as the first day of the week. More and more times we see reference to the Lord's day as being the first day of the week. For example, let me give you these four references. Matthew 28, 1, Mark 16, 2 and 9, Luke 24, John 20, verses 1 and 19. All the Gospels mention that it would be on the first day of the week when Christ would be raised from the grave. And that brings us to our first point. Sunday is a day to remember Jesus' work, his resurrection. I want you to come to me to just one of those references. Come with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Sunday's a day to remember Jesus' work. And the particular work that we're going to talk about is his work of being resurrected from the grave. You say, why do we come here and worship on Sunday? Well, it's to remember that Christ has been raised from the grave. Watch what happens here. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, talking about Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. They worshiped him on the first day of the week. They worshiped him on Sunday. The resurrection bears witness that even as Christ has been raised from the grave, all who believe on him will likewise be resurrected. That's the teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at your very first purpose on your sheet, please. I purpose to worship on Sunday, what? Remembering that because Jesus rose from again, rose from the grave, I who am a believer shall likewise be resurrected. And there's just a few references for you to look at. So, Sunday, the Lord's day, the first day of the week is a time for you and I to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the blessed assurance that we too shall be raised. Secondly, Sunday is a day to remember Jesus' work, not his work of resurrection, but also his work of mercy. What we're going to see is that many of the 55 references to the Sabbath found in the New Testament refer to Jesus' work being performed on the Sabbath day, works of mercy being performed on the Sabbath. By you and I studying some of these illustrations, it's going to give us, it should give us an idea of how you and I can minister on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. What are some of the activities you and I can be involved in today? Now, I want you to be mindful. During this era when Jesus walked upon the earth, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had formulated all kinds of do's and don'ts for the Sabbath. Now, they weren't based on the teachings of God's word. They were based on man, their teachings. And they had formulated all kinds of restrictions that they placed now on activities in the Sabbath. Now, you and I know, as we our study from last week, Exodus chapter 16, that they were not to be preparing meals on the Sabbath. They were to prepare them the day before, and then there would be no work in preparing them for the next day. That's Exodus 16. But there was no law prohibiting picking grain on the Sabbath as one would move through a field to satisfy one's hunger. Deuteronomy 23, 24, and 25 spoke to that very thing. But here, as we turn to Matthew chapter 12, notice the restrictions that the Pharisees had placed upon the Sabbath. I'm looking now, reading from Matthew chapter 12. We'll look at the first 8 verses. He says this, "And at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and they began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. Oh, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day.'" In fact, Deuteronomy 23 said it was perfectly fine. But they added this law, man's law. Notice how the Lord deals with them. He uses some Old Testament illustrations. "But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest.'" Now remember what they did, 12 cakes of bread every day were placed in the holy place in the tabernacle. And those 12 loaves that had been baked the day before, they were taken off the table and given to the priest, and only the priest were to eat them. David, in fleeing from his enemy, with his men with him, hungering, asked for the showbread and divided up amongst his soldiers, his men. Now, what we see here and what Jesus is teaching us is this. When there is a genuine need of the people, it is more important than a ceremonial law. Now, you know there's moral laws and there's ceremonial laws in the Old Testament. Moral laws, the Ten Commandments that we're looking at, you know, we're to keep. But the ceremonial laws, with the coming of Jesus Christ, with his death on the cross, many of the ceremonial laws were done away with. One that comes to your mind is that one time, remember, they were forbidden to eat pork? Well, that ceremonial law was taken away with, okay? It was gone. We know that from Acts chapter 10. But what we see here is that Jesus is teaching them, wait a minute, the genuine needs of people are more important than the ceremonial symbols. But not only that, Jesus is going to tell them he's greater than the temple. Look what comes next. Or, he says, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple, they profaned the Sabbath? How are they profaning the Sabbath? Well, they were laboring. The priests labor on the Sabbath, right? They slaughtered the sacrifices. That was hard work. He says, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Why were they blameless? Because they were doing an act of mercy. They were ministering unto the people. They were offering up the sacrifices of the people and taking those animals and putting them to death. The priests laboring in the temple on the Sabbath, he's saying it was not a sin. And by the way, my laboring here on the Lord's day, it's not a sin. Hopefully, I am ministering to your genuine needs. One of the rules of thumb you're going to find is that, look, if you and I are ministering to the genuine needs of others on the Lord's day, there's nothing wrong with that. Look at what he says in verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place one is greater than the temple. Christ is greater than the temple. Why? Because he built it. And he's greater than the Sabbath because he created it. God's the creator of all things, whether it's the temple or whether it's the Sabbath. Therefore, he's greater than them all. So there's a rule that you and I can go by to decide if we should do such and such on the Lord's Day on Sunday. And what is that rule? Verse 7. But if I had known what this meaneth, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. The Pharisees had turned the Sabbath day, which God intended to be a blessing, a day of rest, a day of reflection on the Lord, they turned that blessing into a burden. Mark adds this statement to this account. Here's what Mark says, a P.S., if you will. He says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What in the world does that mean? What does it mean is this. Which one did God create first, man or the Sabbath? He created man first. The Sabbath was for man. Man was not created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for man. Jesus, we read here, he's the Lord of the Sabbath, and I'll tell you this, he's also Lord of the Lord's Day. And as followers of Jesus, listen to me, we must remember that performing the Lord's works of mercy on the Lord's Day is permissible. Let me give you an illustration. You're on your way to church today, and hopefully you didn't see someone in distress, in need of assistance, and roll down your window and say, hey, I'd like to stop, but I'm on my way to worship God. Hopefully you didn't do that. Look at your purpose. Realizing Jesus performed acts of mercy on the Sabbath, I purpose, if and when the opportunity arises, to likewise show mercy in ministering in the lives of others. Yes, on Sunday. You can minister mercy on your way to church. You can minister mercy while you're here at church. And you can also minister mercy after you leave church. All of that on the Lord's Day. Sunday, the first day of the week. Someone this week asked me about serving a supper meal at the mission on Sunday evening. Do you think that's how I responded? No. It's an act of what? Mercy. Service. God expects us to be merciful, like He is merciful. Whether we're coming to church, while we're here at church, or while we are on our way from church. Turn with me to Mark 3. I want to show you some deeds that Jesus did on the Sabbath. To give you an idea, what are some deeds that you and I can do on the Lord's Day? I'm here in Mark chapter 3. I'm going to read the first six verses. Mark 3. Listen to this. Mark 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand fast. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Look at their hearts. What is Jesus teaching us about the Lord's Day, about the first day of the week? We can do good on the Lord's Day. Can I do this? Is it good? Is it ministering unto others? Is it a blessing to others? Fine. It's fine. Luke 13. Another illustration. What's Jesus doing on the Sabbath here? Well, he's ministering to the needs of others. Luke 13, let's begin our reading with verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues, oh yes, on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman, she had a spirit of infirmity. She had this spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bowed together. I mean, she couldn't even stand up and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said to her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound low these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things which are done by him. You say, oh, what can I do on the first day of the week? What can I do on the Lord's Day? Well, here's what you could do. You could minister unto the needs of others. Yes, and maybe even unto the needs of your animals. You can do good. You can minister to one another. That's what you can do on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. There's one more I want to draw your attention. It's just a page over. Luke 14. Look at verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread. Oh, yes, it's on the Sabbath day. Now, he's not in church, is he? He's at the Pharisees to eat bread. Now, obviously, this is bread that's already been prepared the day before, right? And they watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had dropsy. And Jesus answering, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to hear on the Sabbath day? Oh, and they held their peace. And he took him and he healed him and let him go. And they answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ox or an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Listen, you can heal. You can minister grace. You can minister mercy to those in need on the Sabbath, on the Lord's day, even as Christ ministered on the Sabbath. Now, some would say, well, all right, does that mean that it's all right for doctors and nurses to work on Sunday? Well, perhaps so, but we got to remember, this is free of gratis. This was not, they weren't getting paid for such activities. But obviously, there's nothing wrong with ministering healing on the Sabbath or on the first day of the week. Look at your purpose, please. I purpose to follow my Lord's example in ministering mercy to others on the Lord's day. And how do you do this? By doing good deeds. All right, thirdly, yes, Sunday is a good day to remember the resurrection. Sunday is a good day to remember Jesus' works of mercy, but it's also a good day to remember Jesus' words. Go with me back to Luke 4:16. Just as Jesus ministered to others on the Sabbath with his works, he also ministered unto them with his words. Luke 4, look at verse 16. 4, and here's what we read in verse 16. And it came to Nazareth, and when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Christ taught. And he taught, let's show you in verse 31, he taught on the Sabbath. Verse 31 says, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. What's the point I'm making? Here's what the point I'm making. We can and we should minister to others on the Lord's day with God's word. There's nothing wrong with teaching it. There's nothing wrong with hearing it being taught. So worship the Lord. Worship him. Now, what I want you to understand is that in the early church, there was a transformation from the Sabbath to Sunday. In fact, there was a situation where they were worshiping both on the Sabbath and on Sunday. This was the example that the Apostle Paul put forth, not to be an offense to anybody. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We're in the book of Acts, Acts 17. I'll show you teaching the word on the Sabbath. Acts 17, I'm looking at verses 2 through 4. Here's what we read. And Paul, as his manner was, he went in unto them, and for 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He's the Messiah. All right, flip over a page. Acts 18. Look with me now, verse 4. Talking about Paul again. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Okay, so we see him preaching and teaching on the Sabbath. But let me show you something. Go over another couple of pages to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 7 and 8. And upon the first day of the week, Sunday, when the disciples, they came together to break bread. Were they taking communion? Well, it seems that way, doesn't it? Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech unto midnight. Now, find a statement in verse 9 that every preacher likes to emphasize. Find it. I want you to find it for me. Verse 9, what's that little phrase that every preacher loves to have? Find it. Somebody say it. Yeah, Paul was what? Long preaching. Yeah, every preacher loves to hear that. He was long preaching. Well, here's the point I'm trying to make. Paul preached, he preached both on Sabbath and on Sunday. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Going back, Acts 2. Now, this is the Christian day of Pentecost. It was celebrated 50 days after Easter, which is Resurrection Sunday, all right? And it commemorated the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and upon the followers of Christ while they were here in Jerusalem celebrating weeks a feast of weeks. Here's what we read in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. All right? Now, let's see what was going on. What were they doing on this day, on this Sunday? What activities were they participating in other than preaching? Well, let's take a look at it. Look at verse 41. Acts 2, but we'll jump over to verse 41. And when they that gladly received his word, okay, they were listening to preaching, they were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So there was baptism going on. What else is going on? Well, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, there's your teaching, fellowshipping, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You say, hey, what can I do on the Lord's day? What can I do on the first day of the week? Well, that's what you can do. You can hear good preaching. You can come to a place where you fellowship. And by the way, that word fellowship has the connotation of giving of your gifts and giving of your goods. So fellowshipping was not only just eating and drinking one another. It was to minister your gifts. And we know that from Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That word is used, fellowshipping there, is used in ministering of your gifts within the church body. You should be doing that. And the other thing was, it's also used in ministering not only of your gifts, but of your goods. The church at Corinth, they fellowship by taking up gifts to be sent to the saints that were in need in Jerusalem. Listen to these words, 2 Corinthians 8:4. Praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were to gather up this, and he calls it fellowshipping, ministering their goods unto others. Let me show you something, because I want you to see this phrase. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is the first time we see them encouraging the church at Corinth to take up this collection. But I want you to note when they did this. 1 Corinthians 16, we read these verses. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality, your gift, unto Jerusalem. We see this whole aspect of fellowshipping involved not only ministering your gifts within the church, but also ministering your goods. But that was one of the activities that we see them participating there on those early first day of the weeks. Look at your purpose. It says this. I purpose to worship on Sunday by either preaching, teaching, or hearing the word of God, fellowshipping, ministering my gifts and goods, and taking communion and praying. Now, Notice that we're going to be taking communion today. Is there anything wrong with us to have communion every Lord's Day? First day of the week, every week? Would there be anything wrong with it? No. No. It's perfectly all right. Communion is a time when we remember the covenant that we've entered into. So there's nothing wrong with us doing so. One of the reasons why we've not done it every Sunday is because we are fearful that it would become a what? Habit, a ritual. Now, the Roman Catholics, they'll participate in the Lord's table and give them the wafer and so forth when they change the bread into the body of Christ and the wine into his blood. But, which is that, and by the way, that is heretical. Because Christ died once for the sins of all time. Every time they have a mass, they crucify Christ again. And that's sacrilegious. But never mind that. What the point I'm trying to make is this. There's nothing wrong with us participating and having communion every Sunday we meet. And perhaps you know some churches that do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we don't want anything to become a ritual. We want it to be something that we look up to and we look forward to and anticipate. Now, so what can we do on the Lord's Day? Well, we can remember the Lord's resurrection. We can remember his words. We can remember his works. Performing good works on the Lord's Day, such as ministering unto others with our gifts, with our goods, is most appropriate. And there may even be an occasion where we will miss a service because we're performing some kind of act of mercy out there. But I would ask you this question. How many Sabbaths do you think Jesus missed? Because even on the Sabbath, in the synagogue, he was what? Performing acts of mercy. I believe he performed acts of mercy before he went to the synagogue. I believe he performed acts of mercy in the synagogue. And I believe he performed acts of mercy after the synagogue. But I doubt whether he missed very many times of worship. You can be merciful. Coming to church, while you're here at church, and after you leave church. Don't be afraid of being merciful on the Lord's Day. Now, before we leave this topic, I want to just make a couple more statements because I want to show you three passages that those who believe you don't have to worship on Sunday, what they use for an argument, okay? I'm saying to you that today, in our time, with the new covenant, we should be worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, on Sunday. But there are some that says, no, you don't have to worship on Sunday. And I'll show you one of the passages they use. Turn with me to Romans 14. Romans 14. I'm going to show you three passages quickly as we close. Because somebody might bring this up to you. Paul here is giving instruction on judging one another. Now, he's talking about judging one another in questionable areas, such as eating and drinking and observing certain religious days. What's not in dispute in this passage is God's moral law. That's not a question. You and I are to keep it. But rather, what's in question here are some ceremonial laws that had been done away with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Let's pick up our reading, Romans 14, verse 5. Hey, one man, he esteemeth one day above another. Another, he esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth that day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth it not that day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. So some say, okay, hey, listen, we don't, I can worship the Lord on some other day. I don't have to worship him on Sunday. But I want you to notice here, Paul does not say one man considers the Sabbath above other days or the Lord's day above other days. The Sabbath, it cannot be in consideration. Otherwise, one would be resting and reflecting on God what? Every day. And that's, you can't do that. Why? Because you've been commanded to do what? Work. So, okay, I consider all days alike. I'm going to rest and I'm going to reflect on my Lord every day of the week. No. It can't mean that. What Paul is likely referring to here is the ceremonial holy days. Some Jewish Christians were still observing these days, which they were no longer, it was no longer necessary for them to follow. Christ had liberated them through his sacrifice from keeping them. What Paul is warning here is this. There were some that had the knowledge, I no longer have to keep these holy days. I don't have to do that. I've been liberated through faith in Christ. I don't have to do that. But I must be careful not to push what I know to be true on others who don't know it. Because if I push them into doing something that they doubt they should do, I'm causing them to sin. That's the end of verse 22 and 23. Don't cause them to stumble. Now, listen to me. If this is a reference to the Sabbath, then it may be that some Jewish Christians did not comprehend that they were no longer under the Mosaic covenant, which sign was to keep the Sabbath. But now, by faith, they had entered into what? A new covenant, which sign was taking communion on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Look at your purpose. Because Romans 14 does not teach, I should not observe the Lord's day. Nowhere do you see that. I purpose to follow the exhortations and the examples of other scriptures and worship on the Lord's day. Listen, there may be times when you're studying the Bible, there's certain things that are very clear. Now, we've already saw what Paul did on the Lord's day. He preached on the Lord's day. He kept the Lord's day. We saw by examples, we saw by his exhortation, 1 Corinthians 16. Hey, I want you to take up your offering. When? First day of the week. So we have clear teachings of the Apostle Paul, not only by example, but also by his exhortation, that he worshiped on the first day of the week. Now, when you come to something like this and it's not clear, then you interpret it with that which is clear. This passage is not telling you you should not worship on Sunday. It's not saying that. It's telling you about the aspect of don't be a stumbling block to those who don't have knowledge yet concerning what Christ has liberated them from. All right, let me do this. All right, I'm going to give you just one more illustration. Come with me to Colossians. I'm going to skip over. There is one in Galatians 3. You see it on your sheets. But I'm going to skip over that and take you over to Colossians. Colossians just before all of your T's. And the aspect in Galatians, the Galatian people, they'd been saved by faith, but there were teachers coming in and said, okay, you got to not only be saved by believing on Jesus, but you got to keep the law. And they were encouraging him, you got to get circumcised. And you got to keep certain holy days in order to be saved. But what Paul there in that passage is admonishing them is this. Look, keeping holy days is not the way one is saved. One is saved through faith and faith only, all right? And that's where you learn, look, you can faithfully attend Grace Bible Church every Sunday for the next 10 years. And that doesn't save you. You understand that? You don't attend Grace Bible Church. You don't attend church on Sunday to be saved. You attend church on Sunday because you are saved through faith and only faith in Jesus Christ. That was the argument that Paul was putting forth there. He's not saying there in Galatians, oh, hey, listen, you're not to worship on Sunday. He's talking about those days, those religious days that the Jews were trying to say, you got to keep these in order to be redeemed. But now watch Colossians. You'll see something very similar here. Paul, he's writing to the church at Colossae, okay? And he's warning them about keeping religious holidays as a means of being saved. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, walk ye in him. Walk in the Lord. Rooted, built up in him. Established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And all of Paul's arguments, this is what it's all about. You don't keep holy days in order to be saved. You're saved through faith in Christ. Now, let's show you some of this philosophy and this tradition of men that they were teaching. Jump over with me to verse 16. Same chapter, Colossians 2, 16. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or of the Sabbath days. They were saying, you got to do this. You got to abstain from certain meats. You got to abstain from certain drinks. You got to watch out. You got to keep this holy day. You got to keep these Sabbath days. You got to do these things if you're going to get saved. Paul says, wait a minute. All those things, they were just a shadow of the things to come. But the body is Christ. There's a new covenant, a better covenant than the Mosaic covenant. It's the aspect of faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. He says, verse 18, hey, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Oh, they were humbling themselves. They were humbling. I won't eat. I won't drink. I won't do this. I won't do that. Oh, I will make sure that I am respecting the holy days. Oh, I've got to make sure I keep the Sabbaths. They were practicing this voluntary humility, but at the same time, they were worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. He says, you need to hold fast to the head, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? He says, you're just involved in keeping all these doctrines of men. Don't do this, do this, keep these Sabbaths. But the one thing Paul is not telling them is not to keep the Sabbath. He's not telling, to keep the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday. He's not telling them that. He's telling them, don't perform these rituals as a means of obtaining a right standing with God. And those are the three passages that individuals will take you to try to teach you and say, well, you don't have to go to church on Sunday. You can go any day of the week, and that's fine. Well, those three passages, whether you're looking at Romans, whether you're looking at Galatians, or whether you're looking here in Colossians, not one of them, they do not teach that you can't find a phrase that says you shouldn't worship on the Lord's Day. Now, listen to me again. Let me say it very clearly. If you're coming to church on Sunday, the first day of the week, to be saved, that's not right. You need to come to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, because you are saved. Look at your last two purposes here as we close out this morning. Because Colossians 2 is not an admission not to worship on Sunday, the Lord's Day, I purpose to faithfully do so in accordance to the exhortations and examples found in other portions of Scripture. And then the last one, as a result of this study, I purpose to be more faithful in my worshiping the Lord on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Now, obviously, there's many more things we could say on this, but hopefully I've said enough to let you see the importance of us worshiping our Lord on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, and you saw a number of activities that you and I can be involved in today. Listen, don't be afraid of ministering grace and mercy unto the lives of others. There's nothing wrong with showing compassion and kindness on this day, the Lord's Day. Don't be a say, well, I can't work. Well, acts of mercy may involve some kind of labor. You know, if you're taking your animal out to give him a drink, there's some labor involved in that. If you're assisting someone out of a ditch because they got stuck, that there's some labor in that. So don't be afraid of ministering mercy and grace in the lives of others on the Lord's Day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful day you've given to us to worship you, to have a time of rest and relaxation. Lord, a time to minister our gifts unto one another and our goods unto one another. Lord, we are so thankful for these opportunities that you've given to us. And Lord, how you desire to bless us. We just thank you. We just praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.